We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody. Hey now, and welcome to another edition of Courtside with Christy and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter Scott, joined as always by my guy.
We're Euro-stepping.
Oh, Euro. He's over there. Gabe Ibrahim. Gabe, there have been so many tweets about the WNBA season starting this past weekend, so many Instagrams and all of that. But listen, there were so many eyeballs on the WNBA this past weekend. Opening weekend for the league saw monstrous numbers, as it should have, because there were some amazing games, some amazing moments as well. I'm going to tap into all of it.
And I could tell we're really excited because we started this podcast already. And both we've started this podcast twice. Christy has not done our countdown either time. She just goes right into it.
Just jumped in.
We're not doing a countdown. And the first time she was so excited, she slapped the phone that she's using to record.
Yeah.
It was a great blooper. Maybe we'll throw it in at the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
Stick around if you want to see a phone.
Yeah,
fly
send it to Shafton or something.
We're just so excited. Excited for the start of the WNBA season. I mean, like, you know, obviously we went to the Mystics games. Well, you went to both Mystics games this weekend. I went to the first Mystics game to open the season, which was incredible and shocking and just an awesome thing that we definitely have to talk about. Then throughout the weekend we just had some amazing moments from, you know, everyone. Arike had a big game, obviously. BG coming back was the big story. Stewie had a franchise record in her second game with the franchise, which seems very on brand for her. So it's just like so much stuff was happening this weekend, and just like beautiful opening to the WNBA season. And we do want to say, I want to say before we get into all of this, because we're going to overreact, obviously.
Okay, good.
In the WNBA specifically, and in every league generally, the start of the season doesn't super matter. Especially in the WNBA where we're getting players back and people are starting to get into shape still. Like
40 games.
It's 40 games. So it's not, now is not the end all be all of the season. If you've had some bad losses, excuse me, the Minnesota Lynx. If you've had some bad losses, now is not the time to freak out.
Right.
But if you had some great wins, now's not the time to think that you are world beaters either. So just wanted to get that out of the way before we get into all of the start of the season talk.
You had to put the disclaimer out there. But no, hey, I think we have to start with BG, right? I mean, everyone was out to LA to watch her season opener and then the home opener where she was just phenomenal, right? I think it was over, 300 days?
Yes.
Without something, playing basketball. And I don't know. It's just unfathomable that she's even doing as well as she's doing. And it's not just her shot rhythm that I'm talking about. I'm talking about mentally getting back on the court with her team in front of a sold out crowd everywhere she goes. And then to have Billie Jean King, Magic Johnson, and Lisa Leslie, all the people in the building, you know, standing and cheering her on as her name was announced. I mean, I still get the little chills down my arm for that moment because we just didn't know that she would ever play ever again. So to see her back on the floor and everyone with the welcome back BG comments that they had across the league, all the players. I mean, it was so much bigger than basketball. You could see all the hugs and, you know, it was just really fun to see that dynamic of the game. Obviously the game, and we love the game, but that dynamic, the sisterhood, the camaraderie, the brotherhood, sisterhood with Magic Johnson there going in the locker rooms with Vice President Kamala Harris going into the locker room and speaking with both teams. It's just the respect. I think it just washed over me that, wow, it's, you know, they care about you as a person, Brittany Griner. And everyone else knows that the league cares that much about them as well. And seeing all the love and concern and respect sent BG's way, they know they're in an all-inclusive, when you go to an all-inclusive resort, you know how freeing that is? Only did it once, but it was great, you know? But when you have that, it's... when you have that confidence and knowing that a whole league and a whole sports community has your back, I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a shout out to the X Factor first off, the Phoenix fans. I thought they really showed out for that moment. And you know, in LA they did too, where her first game was and Dawn Staley was there. And that was really cool. But the moment where she came home and, you know, they're doing the team introductions and it's, you know, Sophie Cunningham, it's Diana Taurasi, and Diana Taurasi gets a huge ovation. They're playing their regular music to come in. Right. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, BG's coming up last.
Yeah.
And so she kind of starts stepping out and then the music drops and they start playing Coming Home. You know, it's a song that comes up a lot now in these situations. She's coming home and you could see Brittany's face. And I love that, you know, obviously, cutting her hair was a necessity for her. But I love that you can see her face more now. And like she has such an expressive like face that's like infectious almost with her emotions. And so you could see her like kind of like drop a little bit when the music stopped and like it got really like it felt like the moment was there. And you could see her saying, like, I cannot cry right now. I have to keep it together just to walk out because it's supposed to be happy. And she's smart, and in an interview with ESPN, she was like, I was trying to hold back the tears, and you could see it on her face when it happened. I just thought that was such a beautiful moment. The X Factor going crazy. I thought the team did a great job with it. I thought BG handled it amazing.
Yes.
And that moment to Mitt was great and perfect and beautiful. And then, as you mentioned, she's playing like this.
Yeah.
Like, she's not just. Right, it's not Brittany Griner's not just back. Like Brittany Griner is back. She had 27 points in the home opener, 18 points in the first game. I'm sorry, 18 points in the first game against Los Angeles, 27 points against Chicago in the home opener. Getting to the line, doing it a little bit in the post, she hit a three.
I know,
she
went that nuts. Was three.
And it's just like I'm so happy that. It just feels like right back into it. Like there's not, you know, we're not dancing around anything. We're not saying, oh, she's back and she's not. No, BG's fully back mentally, physically, and with her game. I just think it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful, you know, to see her knock in that three. And I think her percentage wasn't that bad, if I recall. I think Rebecca Lobo said she had taken 9 or something like that, or 4 for 9 or something. So, I mean, that wasn't bad, you know, to knock it in. It wasn't like it was outside of her skill set, just something that she doesn't do on a common occasion. But for her to knock that down, it was just kind of so theatrical to the moment that was already theatrical. So it was really fun to see the smiles on the faces of all the fans and, you know, all the T-shirts. They had the fat heads and all of that. Just the spirit of the moment was really beautiful to watch. But I think that's what it's all about. That's what the WNBA represents, right? They represent holding you up when you're down and when you're, you know, on the top or trying to get back, there's that encouragement and that flow of energy that's so positive. And it just, I don't know, it just kind of flowed through the entire arena. And everyone who was watching caught a piece of it too. So, I mean, that's what it's all about, and it's a life lesson. That's what it teaches you. So it was really fun to watch that in real time and not just as a highlight, but to see it real time was very moving for sure.
So you, the shooting numbers are actually interesting now that I'm looking at them. From three in her WNBA career, Brittany Griner is 7 of 18. So obviously not a ton, right? That's 38%. However, 9 of those attempts came in 2021.
There you go.
So over half of them came in her last year, and in the last year she played. Something she's been working on. She said that in the post game.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe she adds it to her game, which is
I hope so.
Terrifying because she's 6'9". She's 6'9", a month, just a beast down low. And she's developed a nice pitch post game. Like adding the three would be unfair. I mean, like, look, Brittany Griner is already amazing. She's always been amazing. I think this is kind of the most amazing thing that I've ever. One of the most amazing things I've ever seen in sports is that she was gone in a prison cell for a year and a half.
Insane.
And had to come right back out. And like, she hasn't been out that long to say, hey, you know, I'm back into shape. No, she's just built like that. I think it's just so impressive that she is like, she is who we think she is, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, she said it in her press conference, right? Mm-hmm. Media day, I guess, you know, when they had just the press conference for her. And she said that, hey, listen, I just tap into those hard practices where I'm exhausted and I don't know how I'm going to make it through like another hour of this practice when I'm already basically tapped out in terms of fatigue. So she said she just tapped into that kind of mentality of all those experiences, like with USA basketball three times over, obviously with her career at Baylor and high school AAU and then in the WNBA. But all those hard practices where she was just like, man, I can't go anymore. But you can, right? There's always more that you can do. And I think she discovered that when she was in Russia, that, you know, the mental capabilities are limitless and the compartmentalization necessary to get through a tough practice, which is, you know, 180, obviously, from the experience of being in a jail cell. But at the same time, you know, mentally, that's the battle. Mm-hmm. That's the battle in life, right? Is to stay focused on the next day, to stay focused on hope. And I think that's what she did. And that's why she's been able to just jump right back in seamlessly and play the way that she's been playing, which has been pretty amazing. So, and like you said, teams are still trying to get in shape. Teams don't have, you know, so I still think we haven't seen the best of her, even though we've seen a pretty good snapshot of what Brittany Griner can be this season. But wow, all-star break Brittany Griner, that's scary. You talk about knocking in threes and all that, you know, in condition with her new, you know, with her teammates, you know, with the new pieces that they have there in Phoenix too. No Diamond to Shields for a little bit because of a knee injury there with the Mercury, but I mean, she's going to be even better, you know, as she continues to grow and gain that chemistry.
Well, and like the, as you're alluding to, Phoenix needs the scoring real bad. Just now. I mean, like they did have some injuries. Sophie Cunningham missed the first game. She's coming back. Obviously we don't know about Skylar Diggins-Smith. Is she playing this year?
Second baby.
I know.
We don't know.
With moms in this league, nothing would shock me like at all. So if she might play. I don't know. But we don't know what's happening. So there's not a ton of scoring on this team. So she is going to, if Phoenix is going to do anything this year, it's going to be because Brittany Griner is at MVP level. And she's doing it right now. So it's good for them. They are 0-2. We should pump the brakes just a little bit on all the great stuff about Phoenix. They're 0-2. They didn't play particularly well against Los Angeles outside of Griner. It's going to be an uphill battle with the current roster that they have.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, hopefully Sophie's healthy. Hopefully they get their team back together, and then someone else finds a stroke. Maybe it's Mariah Jefferson. I don't know. Regardless, doesn't the basketball stuff like we mentioned? Well, that's stuff we could talk about later. The moments were great.
I agree.
Do you want to do, speaking of moments, do you want to talk quickly about what Breanna Stewart did? Because
man, we're talking about Stu York.
It was impressive. And her, what I, that was her home opener, her first home game with the franchise of the New York Larry. She sets a franchise record with 45 points.
That's insane. 12 boards, man. She went nuts.
Her career mark. Yeah, I watched all of it. I broke down, I like put a little highlight tape together of it. And I got to say, my overall conclusion is that Breanna Stewart's really good.
She's not bad.
She's not bad. I'd like to have her on my team. I'm a coach, fan, player. Because, you know, I mean, we talked about this with Stewie. Like, she is a player that just kind of fits in. You know, like, she don't have to do much to put her in. She kind of has that Kevin Durant-ish quality where it's like, just get me on the court and you put me with four other people, I'll figure it out. I think that's what happened in this game. She was just doing the right things. Five cutting in transition, trailing when she needed to, lifting on the opposite side of a pick and roll, rolling to the right place. It was just like doing a bunch of little things. There was not like too many like, oh my God, crazy shots. There's a couple of them, but it was mainly like just like easy buckets that she was able to put herself in the right place for.
Yeah, no, I mean, she's amazing. I mean, obviously when New York came here to DC for opening night, I mean, a little bit disjointed with their chemistry. And we knew that would be the case with Courtney Vandersloot, Sabrina Ionescu, like everybody trying to find their niche in terms of the chemistry with that team, Jonquel Jones. I mean, it was, you could tell, you know, they weren't quite molded and meshed together yet. But with Stewie, I mean, Washington in that first game did a good job of jamming her space. But I think with what she is able to do just overall as a player, like her skill set, if you snapshot that, I mean, obviously a three level score, but obviously also she picks and chooses when she's going to strike, where she's going to strike, way ahead of time, right? Mm-hmm. She's like two thoughts ahead of everyone else on the floor and sometimes their teammates, which is that'll get meshed together. But I just think that she just sees the game in a different way. And she knows where her and what her strengths are. And she knows how to impact the game. So those 45 points, 12 boards, like that was an amazing performance by her. But that was just what she does, right? And even with the 45 points, and that sounds gaudy and wow and everything like that. I mean, she was so methodical with how she just attacked every single possession, how she wanted to. Like that game was played how she wanted to. She wasn't disrupted. That was what she wanted to do, and she did it. I mean, that's just matter of fact, but that's what she's been doing, right?
And to your point on the connectivity of the team, like it just looked a lot better in the second game. Turns out, you know, they didn't get to get one game under them. I think, you know, Washington's defense is really difficult to play against. We'll talk about the Mystics in a little bit. But like you said, like they really jammed her. They really got into her space in Washington. And Indiana just doesn't quite have the personnel to do that. You know, instead of having Sykes, Cloud, Atkins to throw around on the perimeter, you know, you're throwing around Lexi Hall and some of these other players. No offense to Lexi Hall.
Yeah.
Lexi Hall had a decent game. Cardi, Breanna Stewart, all things considered.
That's a tough task.
It's a tough task. And so it's just like a different personnel situation where, but I also do think like they put her into the right spots where it's like, hey, Stewie, you know, hang out in the corner, find your spot when you need it. They let her run some pick and rolls still with Jonquel. And like, I think that's going to be great. I think the inverted pick and rolls that they'll probably get into with Sloot or Sabrina setting screens is also going to be amazing. And Sloot and Sabrina were also like, they're not going to get as much credit in this game. I thought they were excellent. I believe they tossed like four or five assists to Stewie.
Okay.
And a couple of them were like, you know, Stewart was just at the basket and the ball appeared in her hands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, I think those two really got their stuff together. Easier against Indiana's defense, a young team that, you know, still getting it together. Crucially, I think a team that didn't run as much as Washington did.
Right.
Which I think is going to be a big weakness for New York early going, at the very least. Like in transition, their defense, there's holes there with Vandersloot, with Jonquel, players who don't really push it necessarily on transition defense early in the season. I think they'll get into shape and that'll change as the games get more important. But, you know, it all came together, and you're right. It just kind of felt like, you know, hey, you look up, Stewie has 25, and then you look up again, she has like 30, and then you look up again, and it's like, okay, we're in 40. Like, she about to hit the franchise record. It just happened so fast because it was all well within the flow of the offense. And I thought that's a really good sign for New York. I think they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's going to take them some time to gain that chemistry and rhythm. But, you know, against Washington in that first game, Washington had 16 fast break points.
Yeah.
But, and we'll talk about the Mystics in a while, but, you know, in the Mystics' last two games, they only had two fast break points on Sunday against Connecticut, and none in their most recent game Tuesday. So, I mean, when you see Washington and their ability to go 16-2 advantage in that New York game, mm-hmm. pushing tempo, I mean, they were forcing turnovers. I mean, they had 13 steals against New York. So, I mean, I think that speaks also to the chemistry or lack thereof out of the gates. But, I mean, when you can have 13 steals and turn a team over 22 times, mm-hmm. right, and get into the open court, I mean, that bodes well for a team like Washington, but they haven't been able to recreate that kind of production for their fast break points since that game. But in terms of getting back, right, it's also about taking care of the ball, right? It's also about, you know, making sure you know your personnel in certain situations. Come and meet passes. Don't wait for the ball to come to you. Like, run through the ball. So, you know, they're just some basics and fundamentals, but there's also some chemistry pieces that, you know, need to come along, but, you know, that's something that reps will handle in practice more so than anything.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's a good, really good example of what happens in the regular season of both the NBA and the WNBA, especially early on. It's like, do you have a strength that can attack the other team's weakness? So what was New York's weakness against Washington? Turnovers, transition defense. Washington had the capability of creating turnovers and then taking it down in transition, thanks in large part to Brittany Sykes. So there was a big difference from last year. Last year, they could create the turnovers. They couldn't take it down in transition. Against Indiana, New York still had 18 turnovers, still provided those transition opportunities. But Indiana's not a team that can take that, right? So they can't take those transition opportunities as well as DC could. They couldn't create the turnovers to be live ball turnovers rather than dead ball turnovers.
There you go.
So it just created a different situation in which New York was able to succeed. And then you get, once New York was able to get into the half court, it's one of those games as an offense where you say, let's get into the half court because we can beat them. Whereas against Washington, I would say most teams are saying, we don't want to get in a half court game with them because their half court defense is too good. And then you look at what Connecticut does, the fourth team in this equation, they're really good at limiting transition opportunities. Yeah. They want to make it a slugfest for you offensively.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And it's a great matchup to what Washington wants to do. And I think they're going to have to, it's one of those things that, like, as the season progresses, you're going to see these advantages and disadvantages be reckoned with by the coaching staff. But early in the season, it's really about figuring out what your advantages and disadvantages are in every single matchup.
No doubt. And it's exactly what Connecticut did to Indiana in their first game. Mm-hmm. You know, they were so disruptive. They made them uncomfortable. And speaking with Stephanie White in DC when they were playing the Mystics on Tuesday, that's what she told me before the game. She was like, we just want them to be uncomfortable. Right. And that doesn't mean like anything egregious. That just means we want to blow up any action that they want. We won't blow up that hammer action they like to get for Elena Delladon, you know, on that fade screen to the left foul line extended area. They want to blow that up. They did a good job of just messing that all up every time they tried to get it. Even at the end of the game, they tried to get that same action and couldn't. So I think when you have someone like Stephanie White, who has 15 years experience as a player or coach in the league, she understands what it takes to win. That's why they're 3-0 in Connecticut right now, even without Jonquil Jones and even without Jasmine Thomas, who's with LA, and obviously Jonquil Jones is with New York. But with what Connecticut has been able to do defensively, throwing Rebecca Allen on the floor too, and showing that strength and length, that's just a tough matchup for a lot of teams in terms of how they play defense. They don't like to switch a lot. They will if they have to, only like, look like on emergency situations, they would switch sometimes. But for the most part, they're staying over top on pick and rolls. So that's even harder, right? When teams fight over top And Connecticut does a really good job of doing that. So, especially with their length. So it's very disruptive. So kudos to Stephanie White to be out of the gates with that great 3-0 record. But, you know, she knows it's about the defense. And that's what she said. You know, we just have to be disruptive, make them uncomfortable. And that's been working out for them pretty well.
Yeah, and I think that's the kind of personnel they have this year, right? Yeah. They have the personnel. I mean, Liz Thomas, dog. DeWanna Bonner, dog. Natisha Heidemann, dog. Bree Jones, dog. Like, it's a team of dogs. And, like, you mentioned Beck Allen. And you know, we weren't necessarily planning on talking about Connecticut, but I think it's a good time. They're looking good. And I think a lot of people may have been surprised by it. I'm not.
Me either.
Because Beck Allen, she makes the spacing make sense. I mean, as much as I love Jonquel, and she was amazing with this team. And there's no sense in, I'm not even coming close to saying that Becca Allen and Jonquel Jones are the same player. Just like in basketball,
right?
You need spacing, offensive spacing. And they finally have it with Becca Allen. She needs to stay healthy. She needs to continue hitting shots, but it's opened a lot of room for them. And I think the other thing defensively, like you mentioned, they're going to do their thing. But I just, I like the way the team's set up. I love Tiffany Hayes. People forget, like, Tip Hayes, man, she's a dog out there. She can get to the rim. She can shoot. She does a little bit of everything. Big reason why they don't have to switch, because Tiffany Hayes is going to get over that screen. She's going to get through it. And she's going to cause illegal screens because of how hard she fights through her and Alyssa Thomas.
Yeah.
Not only from how they fight through it, but how they flop through it as well. But they're going to get those.
Hey. He said that. No, he said it.
Hey, to everyone flopping, I love you. I love flopping. It's a skill. I hope you practice it. It's you know what it is? It's wrestling. They do the same exact thing in wrestling. Yeah. You have to sell getting hit.
Sell it. Yeah.
You have to sell getting hit in basketball. So floppers, I love you. But regardless, Tiffany Hayes, is she just such a great addition to what they want to do? Mm-hmm. Defensively and offensively. I just like the way this team's made up. And yeah, they got a little bit worse talent wise without Jonquel, but they may make a little bit more sense, and that may matter more in basketball.
Yeah, no, that's true. I like that Connecticut looks different this year. And no shade to anyone, but I just think it's intriguing when you can have so much size on the floor. I mean, outside of Natisha Heidemann at one point in the Mystics game here in DC. I mean, I think everyone else was 6'2 and above, you know, and that's just tough, you know, to create any lanes to attack offensively. And, you know, Washington wanted to, you know, spread them out in their pick and roll actions and then attack and get some paint threes, some drives and kicks, but they weren't making those shots on the outside. I think they were 1-for-8 from three in the third quarter because Connecticut's so long and disruptive, right? They were there to close out with the stick arm and really making it difficult in those paint three attempts by Washington. And that's when they kind of opened the game up as well in the third quarter in Washington. So, I mean, Rebecca Allen, I mean, she brings that professional experience, that national team experience from Australia. So she brings that toughness too. I mean, she's on the glass. It's not just her ability to defend, but she, you know, she can shoot the ball very well. Also, and another floor spacer for Connecticut. So I'm intrigued by the lineup and what they're able to present on the court so far in their 3-0 start. I like it. I like it. And, you know, their defense is tough to contend with. And I think you're going to see that really be something that they hang their hat on moving forward throughout the season for sure.
And look, you know, Stephanie White, she's not new. She's not new to this.
Like, she's not new.
She's a coach that has a ton of experience, and one of the things she has a ton of experience is in building a great defense. You know, she did that in Indiana. She was only there for a year. She took them to the finals that year.
Finals.
Just for the record. But, like, she was a hand in that great defense, and it's easier when you have a Tamika Catchings, but you got an Alyssa Thomas. You got Tiffany Hayes. You got DeWanna Bonner. That's a great defensive layout. We'll see if they can keep it up. You know, they've had – every year they've had injuries – really take something away. I want some health this year. So everyone stay healthy in Connecticut. I will not be going back to Connecticut under any circumstances though.
What happened?
It's hard to get. It was hard to get there. No offense to Uncasville, but man, I'm not going back there. I'm not a casino guy, and all the bars in the casino closed at like 11, so then it was just the casino. And I was like, okay, so this is not it, we need If the Mohegan Sun wants to call me, I have suggestions for what to do with your casino make it more fun.
Businessman, but, Gabe, I like it.
Yeah, I'll be a consultant and then I'll go back to Connecticut. So let's talk about Washington, a team I will be going to their stadium more.
Yeah.
Even though they want to charge me $20 for parking every game. Did you know this? Insane. Yeah.
No, let's see if you can get a media parking pass or something like that.
Do they have those? They didn't offer me one. All right, I'm going to ask. Regardless. Christy, you got to understand, I'm not you.
I've been there for a couple minutes, man. You know how it goes. It's like, how y'all doing?
I mean, you know.
Sometimes, yeah. Anyway, but we'll get it. But, you know, we'll
Washington, 1-2. Cool. 1-2 to start. What have you seen that's kind of been one of the storylines so far in these first two games? Obviously, we mentioned it. Big win against New York at first. Huge. Felt kind of like an emotional outburst there. And then two losses to Connecticut, a team that it provides a lot of challenges for Washington now and before now and probably forever. So what have you seen that's been like the biggest thing for you?
I'm saying if you're looking at storylines, I'm going at the top, you know, with Elena Delladon. Mm-hmm. Looking great.
Yes.
Looking great. Okay. And I think that was the question going into opening weekend. I mean, even at media day, how are you feeling? Mm-hmm. Are you healthy? How's the back? You know, how's and it back? Took you know, you were there. It took like 5 or 6 questions before we got to her back. You know, mm-hmm. We wanted to know about her as a person and everything else. But at the end of the day, you know, she missed 11 games last year for load management because of her back surgeries. And I just think that, you know, for her to say at media day, I'm not planning on missing any games for load management this year. Like, I'm going in, like, we're not, you know, spot checking like every 2 games, no back-to-backs. Like, she doesn't have any rules on when she's playing or not. So, you know, that means that she feels great. Obviously in the first 3 games, albeit a 1-2 start, we get it, but mm-hmm. She has looked fantastic physically and mentally. I know in that game on Sunday, she was extremely frustrated because at 6'5", it's not, you know, the bigger they are, the harder you can hit them. We saw that with Shaq.
Can I say something that you can't say?
Okay.
The refs during Sunday's game against – I'm not a big refs guy, and I'm not saying this is why the Mystics –
You are not. You're not. Yeah.
I'm not a big refs guy. I only complain about them when they affect the game, the flow of the game. Not when they make bad calls. Everyone makes bad calls. I can accept
human.
That.
Human. Yeah.
They were terrible. I know there was only 2 of them, but both of them were awful. Eric Tebow got a tech in like the first quarter. I was like, yeah, he's right. Because he was right. He got that first tech. And for one of the most impressive coaching performances I've ever seen for him not to get the second tech. Because there's no way I stay in that game. There's no way. I would have got kicked out. I don't know how Natasha didn't get a tech. Not for lack of trying. I think they were just tired of fighting everyone. But that was all right. That's all I want to say. The refs were bad.
No, I mean, they did. And, you know, I was agreeing with you on the fact that there were only 2 officials. One official went out with, I don't know, an injury or something. I don't know what happened. So they didn't have a 4th official at the table, which most times they do. It was kind of bizarre that they didn't have another official to step in to make sure that the floor had 3 officials carrying the game. Mm-hmm. So for it already to be frustrating and then to drop down to 2 officials, it was quite something on the road for Washington. But to hear Elena Delladon say, you know, I'm tired of being treated like a rookie, you know, mm-hmm. with how I'm being officiated. And first of all, I mean, we've been around Elena Delladon, you know, I have from Delaware, even high school for her. But then, you know, to see her play in the WNBA, I mean, she doesn't make comments like that after every single game. She doesn't make comments like that during the game. I mean, you could see the outward expressions from Elena Delladon in that contest where she just had it. She was just like, seriously, like, what's happening? But she had other words, but but we, you know, we called that game from DC. And I think I said something to Megan McPeak, like, well, this is, you know, Elena Delladon 99% of the time is not going to say anything or be demonstrative at all with her nonverbal communication. No, she's not going to shoot you any eyeballs or anything. But that game, I was like, this is that game where it's that 1% that she's just going to have to say. But there were a couple times, man, where she was just getting touched up egregiously and there were no whistles whatsoever. I mean, by two people. And, you know, and if she fouled, and if it's an offensive foul, then call that too. And I think I said that because she kind of hooked somebody. I think she hooked Breonna Jones or something like that. And on the replay, you could see it real time. Missed it. On the replay, you could see Dodon hook. And I'm like, well, call that too. I mean, if that's a foul, like, I'm not saying it like, oh, my God, for Washington, make all the calls. I'm like, make the call. Right.
You know, it was very inconsistent.
Make the proper call. Make the proper call. And I think they did. They missed on a couple of them on both sides, obviously, with Del Don hooking. I mean, that's a foul. But there's no whistle on that either. So, I mean, for me, it's all about the integrity of the game. It's always going to be like that. And I, you know, I said as much in the game, you know, on Sunday. There are a lot of instances where I'm like, wow, how does that just go uncalled? Like, no call. No whistle. It was a lot, but you have to stay focused. I mean, you know, life's not going to be all easy either. It's a life lesson, right? Where it's not going to be all, you know, they show that little picture where it's like what you think it's going to be, like a straight line, but what it ends up to be, all these twists and turns and up and down roller coaster. Like, you're going to have to stay the course, and it's not a straight line. There's going to be some rough parts, and you got to stay tough in those. And that's what that game taught Washington, I think.
Well, and I think it was like they did get distracted, in my opinion, in Sunday's game. In Sunday's game, I think they did get a little distracted. I thought Shakira, she played well.
She played
great. She honestly had some really awesome post moves.
Double double.
But like you could tell, like, it was like every time she shot, she's calling for the foul. It's like, you know, I think Eric was able to put it behind him. The refs, he's just able to say, okay, we just have to deal with it. And the team struggled a little bit with that. I think, you know, it'll be okay. Shakira is so young that I think it adds a different dimension in that regard to this team in terms of the emotional. And that emotional state is good too. When we have Shakira being, you know, really hype, it's good for that team. But I think it's, you know, it kind of is not the best attitude. And then, you know, you look around in both these games against Connecticut and the offense, you know, struggled. I think, as we mentioned, against New York, they were really able to get out in transition. Their defense was incredible. They were playing against a team that was not as well conditioned as them, and they were able to take advantage of that. And their shooting was good.
Right.
And so all of those things came together. You know, you had Chris Tolliver making big contributions. You had Tiana Hawkins making big contributions. Everyone was playing really well. Kind of felt like the Heat through most of this playoffs. Whereas, like, everyone's doing something, and everyone's making the right decisions, and we're doing it at a higher speed than everyone else.
Right.
Last two games, you play against an opponent who really takes away those transition opportunities, makes you work for everything. We saw a little bit of the half-court problems that we saw last year with this team.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question to you is, you know, where do you look for the solutions? Obviously, Elena is doing Elena's thing. Shakira is becoming more and more of a scorer.
She is.
What else needs to happen for this offense to kind of go in together? Because, you know, we could look at Natasha Kyle had a rough day yesterday. Ariel Atkins two kind of like quieter games.
Yeah.
And then Brittany Sykes, she scored, but it wasn't like, you know, a ton of contributions like she did in that first game. So what do you think the Mystics need to do to fix that half court offense situation?
Oh, you know, I would say to be more patient, but it's almost like, no, it's almost like get the earliest best shot. I think they work better and they look better to me three games in. I think they look better when they are attacking quickly, when they're in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock and they get their early actions. Because after that, then it almost looks like they're settling, or if things break down, now you have bad spacing. I've seen a couple times where players are right next to each other, like running, like almost crashing into each other. And that's how close they've been. So I think they're still working on the rhythm of their spacing, which takes time as well. Even though these players aren't new to one another, like Tiana Hawkins is not new to this group. You know, Chrissy Tolliver is back. I mean, Troy Walker-Kimbrough left, came back. Like, they still need that time to redevelop the chemistry that they once had. So it's not a given just because on paper they return seven players from the championship squad in 2019. Mm-hmm. There's got to be also, you know, some grace given to them redeveloping that chemistry because they're all different, right? Ariel Atkins was a baby when they won the championship, right? They don't even have Myesha Hines-Allen on the court with her left knee injury. So there's a lot still to come for this Washington Mystics team. But for me, when they are in their early actions in the quarter court, that's when they're at their best. You know, when they're in their first two or three options in their offense, that's when they look the most sharp. After that, it really kind of becomes convoluted and they kind of, you know, stuck in mud a little bit. And maybe they'll get a shot, a good shot, you know, later in the clock. But to me, they just look more in rhythm when they are striking quickly. And obviously in that New York game, when they struck 16 times in the fast break, you know, for 16 fast break points, they look great when they're in the open floor. So I think a lot of that is getting the stops necessary. That was one of the keys last night, is to, you know, keep Connecticut off the glass, off the second chance point opportunities on the offensive boards. Like, get the defensive boards, get it and go, right? Push it with the pass. I think a lot of times in that Connecticut game, on Tuesday, you know, there were a lot of times Washington, I thought, could have pushed ahead with the pass. Like, get it to the corner. Like, even if you don't shoot that shot, I think Brittany Sykes knocked in a couple of threes. You know, I don't know if they were transition necessarily, but I know she hit a couple. But she was open in the left corner on this one particular possession I'm thinking of. And I'm like, send it there, because that's going to open up the floor. Even if she doesn't launch it, like, that's going to pull the defense out. So now, like, a player like Shakira Austin, who moves very well without the ball, right? She can take a hard slice cut right there and then get an easy layup. But you've got to force the defense outside of the paint and then attack inside. And I think they're much better also when they are in attack mode for the paint. And whether that's scoring in there or getting, like I said, paint threes, 10 toes down and get the kick out to a made three opportunity. And I think, you know, them again going 1-for-8 in the third quarter from three, I think really hampered them.
Yeah.
But Cloud and Atkins, they've got to be consistent. They've got to give you at least 12 points each. They've got to give you 12 and efficient 12. And maybe they had almost 12, but they were missing shots that they would typically make. And even with Atkins a couple times, I mean, you saw the frustration in her a little bit.
Yeah.
She missed that layup. She was a little frustrated. And Tosh missed that shot at the end of the first half. And she was like Arthur Fist, like pushing down on the ground. Like, she was mad. And I'm not saying that's wrong. You should be frustrated. Yeah, you got to make those shots. And she knows it, you know, Ariel knows it. So it's not like I'm like, oh, how about this tip? No, they understand what they need to do. But it's just got to be consistent. They know how to do it. They've done it before, clearly. But that's just something that's going to help the chemistry continue to grow, is them being consistent with their shots, them being efficient with their shots from the outside. And knowing when to attack, right? And when to kick it forward with the pass in transition, right? To spread the defense out. And then now you can get easy trail layup, you know, on a rim run. You got to be able to do that, though, on a consistent basis. So that's what I think can help them in terms of their overall pace of play.
And I think so. There's a few things. So the first thing, as you mentioned, they were really good in the early actions, really good in the open court.
Yeah.
And I think that comes just a little bit from them being more of a team that's not necessarily like a motion team. There's like it's like an action based plan rather than a set plan. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it's more of like the Golden State Warriors model. Everyone likes it. It's very pretty. 2019, it looked beautiful, right? It takes time to get to pretty. It takes condition to get to pretty. It takes practice to get to pretty. So when you don't run a lot of sets, I think it's something that comes up, just like when you're trying to get your flow. You have to learn how to play with each other a lot more than the team who runs everything out of horns. Like, the Minnesota has a ton of sets, right? That just gets them into a place where they can play hoop a little bit more.
Right.
The Mystics are kind of always we're hooping mode of like, you know, we're just running sets, we're running actions, you know, pin down here. That just gets us into it. So I think that'll come along a little bit more, maybe in the interim. There's opportunities to put more sets into this offense. I think when you're playing with two post players that you want to get touches for, like, you need to get more sets, because just players, I don't know if it's players nowadays, it's hard to get the ball into the post in basketball if you don't run a set.
And
so I think,
I agree.
Yeah. So I think maybe adding that a little bit more would be good, but I think it's going to come along. I think the offense will be better at the very least going forward. But with Ariel Atkins, you know, I have to say I was a little disappointed in the last two games. She needs to be a star. And we say this, we've said this a lot. And like we've said, always she gets better at like things every year. Mm-hmm. She does incremental improvement. And she's a star. She's the US, she's an Olympian gold medalist. There's no denying that she's a star. Just like, I want to see her offensively take a little bit more ownership of this team.
Right.
And just say, you know, hey, yeah, we have Landell on. I didn't get mine though. She only took nine shots in the last game. Nine shots in the game, in the first game against Connecticut, seven shots in the last game. She should never go 2-for-7 or 2-for-9. I need her to have that Dion Waiters mentality of like, I'd rather go 0-for-40 than 1-for-9 because 1-for-9 means I stop shooting.
Yeah.
Like, so I need her to just take it a little bit more and say, I need to produce more. And that doesn't mean just like that little dribble step to the side, you know, mid-ranger. I like that as your kind of like bailout end of the shot clock. But I want her to get downhill more and really, you know, show her stuff, because I think she's kind of ceding that responsibility to Cloud and to Sykes because they're a little better at it. But I need Ariel to do it too, because she needs to be the second best player on this team for them to go places. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I know last year that was a point of emphasis for Ariel individually. You know, mm-hmm. she came into last season saying, I want to get to the free throw line more, mm-hmm. right? I want to put my shoulders down and drive and get into the paint and finish at the basket. So, I mean, I think that's still there for her to do. I think that, you know, every year, I think once you put that in the atmosphere, like this is what I want to improve upon. It's not just for that year, right? It's like forever moving forward that you want that as part of your skill set. So I think she's still working on, you know, the when. She already knows how, but I think it's the when to do it, right? Yeah. I mean, when you have the two post players in there, the spacing is a little different. And I think that's what Eric Thibault is kind of alluding to with their pick and roll action, saying that mm-hmm. we're too crowded in our pick and roll actions. And, you know, that defense is being drawn from a big, right? So your second line of defense when you're trying to finish at the rim is huge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to pick and choose when to attack. So it's not like, I don't think she's like not attacking.
Yeah.
Okay. I just think she's trying to figure out when to attack. Okay. So that's different. It's not that she's shying away from that action. She's just trying to figure out, how do I get in there when there's so many bodies in the way?
Yeah.
Right.
And her teammates have to find her too.
And Eric said, you know, Eric Thibault said before the Connecticut game on Tuesday, he said, we've got to find a way to get her not to take the most difficult shot in the possession, right? Yeah. And I think that's what we've seen from her. I mean, she is taking that dribble in and to the side, right? Yeah. And pulling. But I think also yesterday there was an opportunity for her. It was like, I think it was a paint three. Was it in a paint three or a paint long two where she got it kicked out to her and she knocked it in? And, you know, those are the kinds of shots that we were used to seeing from Ariel Atkins, right? Penetration and kick, you know, when they had Miesemann and, you know, but Miesemann wasn't necessarily back to the basket. When she was on the floor with Elena Deladon, it was like a 4-out-1-in kind of situation, more so than, you know, two posts like it is kind of now. It's almost reverse, like with Shakira being the one kind of anchored on the block and Deladon floating a little bit more. In the forward position. So I don't know. It's got to be a win to go for Ariel Atkins. And I think she's going to get it. And again, you know, the chemistry is still redeveloping itself for the Mystics, even though they're familiar, like I said, with one another. They still have to have this time to formulate what the actions look like with Eric Thibault there now as the head coach. And I'm sure they're running a lot of the same actions, but, you know, they're different, even though they're the same name. Oh, you know, across their back, they're different as players.
Different roles.
Add more to their game. Like Ariel wants to add more to her game. So it's not, you know, they're not like in a box, you know, like they're growing, like they're always growing their game. So you just have to, you know, give them some grace with that too. But I think they'll get it. It looked better yesterday in snatches, their spacing in the quarter court, but Atkins will get it. And I think Cloud will too. I mean, Cloud was attacking, she just wasn't finishing.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Natasha, like, to me, like any offensive thing from Natasha, like, I obviously if she has a ton of turnovers, that's a problem. Outside of that, like, Natasha, like, you do your thing. You get to the rim, you're gonna make the right passes. Like, you shouldn't be as reliant on her scoring. Mm-hmm. You have to be a little bit more reliant on a player like Atkins. And yeah, I'm with you. She's gonna, I mean, just in like the most simple terms, right? Like, she has moved from the shooting guard to the small forward. If you want to have positions, she is more of a small forward now with Brittany Sykes taking on more of the ball handling responsibilities. So that will necessitate her getting the ball more from her teammates. But yeah, I think you have to just, if the boat is built out of scoring offensively, if the boat's going to be built out of scoring from, in this order, Elena Deladon, Ariel Atkins, and Shakira Austin, then Ariel Atkins needs to do it every night. And I think she can. I think she will. I don't think this is like, this is not indicative of what she's going to do this season. Just something I want to see a little bit more. You know what I want? And maybe I've just been watching too much of the Miami Heat. What? But like, I want a little bit of Jimmy Butler from Ariel Atkins. Like, I'm scoring here. I'm scoring expletive right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, I'm the bleep
Jimmy
now.
Jimmy freaking
scoring.
Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy freaking Butler. Like, I'm going. I'm
freaking Atkins.
I'm beating you with the rip. You know, two dribbles, jump stop, score.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that just a little bit more. Just so, you know, and I think she's totally capable. She is great in the triple threat, in my opinion. I think she has a really good first step. I think that's something she could do a little more, but just like a little bit more, like, you know, like F you in your programming. I think you got three players with that, Cloud, Sykes, and Shakira all kind of play with that like attitude. I think Elena plays with the attitude in like a more, in a different way.
It's
she's a superstar, right? You know, it's a little different when you're
But that fire, doesn't display it. That means it's not there now.
Exactly.
It's in there. It's in there, but it's like here.
And I think Ariel really has that sort of, you know, she also has that.
Yeah.
It's competitive fire, but I want it to be nasty. I want it to be like, no, this is mine. Like, not only are we winning, I'm beating you.
Yeah.
And I want to see her just do that a little bit more sometimes. And she has, I think she will. She will be fine. Just, you know, a couple rough games. But I think the Mystics overall, that's our feeling with the Mystics too, is like.
Agreed.
It'll be okay. I think when they start playing teams that are not Connecticut and don't have Alyssa Thomas, I think things get a lot easier. Now, not just in terms of the basketball, but in terms of like your life, because you don't have to see Alyssa Thomas and Bree Jones and that massive team over there.
Yeah. I mean, and the physicality, and that's not a negative. I mean, just saying, like, I mean, every team is physical. Okay. So it's not like Connecticut's like this, like overly physical team, but they are disruptive, and their length, especially on the perimeter, is, you know, it's taking away passing lanes. It's, you know, active hands in the passing lanes. And it makes you think. You know, a couple of miscues down the stretch for Washington against Connecticut in the second game in particular were because they were very aggressive in the passing lanes and their ability to anticipate and go the other way and play Mystics basketball, right? Steal and score. And that's what kind of broke the game open down the stretch with, you know, a couple of miscues. And it was just unfortunate for Washington. So, Connecticut's a dangerous team, but Washington, I mean, they have time to get right. They have Chicago coming up next. That'll be a great game on the road on Friday. So
no games tonight though.
I know. That's
no NBA.
They're gonna replay on NBA TV. They're gonna replay some stuff. That's what
I know, but I don't want to watch a Heat game from last night. I don't want to watch a Heat game from last night. That wasn't fun. That wasn't fun. I mean, I'm glad
they only need one more.
Look, I'm glad the Boston Celtics are not gutless cowards like they showed in game three.
True.
I didn't want to work out yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? I think it was the day before. I was like, I told my wife Emily, I was like, I don't want to work out today. Like, I don't think I have that dog in me. And she was like, do you want to be like the Boston Celtics? Do you want to just give up on the day? I was like, that's such a good
did you get up?
I went up and I worked out. I was like, I'm not going out like that. And so the Boston said, good for the Boston Celtics. I'm glad they decided not to go out like that. Game five will be very interesting.
Emily.
shouts to Emily. But yeah, no basketball. I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. Maybe I'm going to watch other basketballs.
There's always something on. You can find something.
Is there EuroLeague, Europe? If you got basketball suggestions tonight, toss them. Yeah. Toss them my way. I got nothing but time. Oh, I do got to go to practice though. We're both late for something. So we should head out.
Oh, yeah, we got it. Yeah, Jordan's almost out of school. He's not quite driving yet.
He can walk home.
I know, but, he has practice later than the same takes.
Should run home. Anywho,
you said what?
He should run home. Get those legs stretched out.
Get a good stretch. Yeah. Maybe one day, but not today, though. You know, mommy's going to go get him. So. But anywho, hey, look. There's so much WNBA news popping every single day. So make sure that you come back here next time for more Courtside with Christy and Gabe as we keep you in touch with the pulse of the league, okay? With our popcorn and our cranberry juice with the lime. No ice. Right here as we're sitting courtside being entertained by these dynamic young people, these young women. I'm telling you, it's been so exciting just to see the sports world embrace the WNBA this season once again. I love it. So WNBA Twitter has been fun too. Just follow that hashtag if you're not already. But also follow us on our Twitters.
Christy51WScott.
That's me. That's me. It's building
more
up.
Or less,
yeah. Getting it better. It's good now.
She's Christy Scott. It was her birthday yesterday.
Oh yeah.
She just turned 30, just like me.
Again.
Are you still going with 30? My mom turned 35 a couple years ago.
I said 29 yesterday in holding, but then I was getting some 25s and even a 22 yesterday. But I think people were being overly kind. But, that's fine.
Younger than me. I just turned 30.
We're the same. Good. It was a fun day. And no place I'd rather be than in the gym anyway. I had a nice breakfast with my mom and then whole family came down. Well, the kids. Oh. Well, Jordan had practice, so he couldn't come to the Mystics game, but my mom, my older son, my daughter came, and so
Jordan was busy getting another offer from the Division One school, which is something we're gonna have to talk about in this podcast at some point.
We'll talk about it at one point, but yeah, he was in the gym, but he was working out in the gym. I was just gym, like having a good old time, and Monumental and NBC Sports Washington, they were very sweet, gave me a cake, and my brother was there, gave me some flowers, and so it was really a sweet, sweet night. So I really enjoyed my moment in time around the sun, whatever. Well, it was awesome. Gemini season. Christy. Thank you, Gabe. I appreciate it. And on that note, we're going to get up out of here. We don't have to go home, but we got to get up out of here this time. But come back right here on Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network for more Courtside with Christy and Gabe with WNBA news all season long. And we'll see you next time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.